Hello, I'm John Smith, the John Smith from England, and you are listening to the Music Journeys podcast.
Welcome to the Music Journeys podcast. I'm Mike Foley. With his new album, The Fray, musician John Smith believes he's created his most honest work yet, and it came out of necessity. Not unlike other musicians, the singer, songwriter, and guitarist found himself grounded by the pandemic, but he also faced a flurry of unrelated family health matters. Here on Music Journeys, Smith will share those challenges and how turning to music helped him, as he said, to accept that life is hard, but to hold on and try to enjoy it anyway. I can still recall the first song I heard from the new record, Eye to Eye, a beautiful duet with Sarah Jarosz. Magic, I think, is the only way I've been able to describe it. But the entire album, start to finish, will enrich your life. Smith takes part in the Fast Five and also paints us a picture of Peter Gabriel's real-world studios where he recorded the songs. A quick reminder, too, that there's a transcript of this feature in the podcast experience at wcbe.org. While you're there, check out some of our other shows on the topics of healthcare, leadership, movies, policing, even a program featuring performances that harken back to the golden age of radio. Look for all those shows and more in the podcast experience at wcbe.org. And please download the NPR One app to subscribe to your favorite shows, including Music Journeys. Grateful to have John Smith as our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
Hello, I'm John Smith, and this is my music journey.
I want to believe there's a reason somewhere you're making sense. How'd you get over one day at a time between two white expanses? Walk a fine line. At times I lose focus. I don't know how to pray. Nobody's listening on the first day of the rest. Just the rest.
Although it's the final song on John Smith's new 12-track release, The Fray, One Day at a Time reflects his outlook on life. The pandemic already made 2020 difficult for the singer, songwriter, and guitarist who now resides in North Wales. But also last year, Smith and his wife lost a pregnancy, and his mom received a cancer diagnosis in the span of just a few weeks.
You know, it's been a complete nightmare, but counting my blessings that my wife and my mum are still okay. So it's you have to put these things in perspective, I think. How do I deal with this? And it's a cliche, you know, one day at a time, but it's also just fundamentally how time works. You don't have a choice but to face it one day at a time. These songs are about getting a bit older and facing up to real life a little bit. You know, I think we all had a lot of that to deal with in the last year, real life, events beyond our control just happening to us. And in my case, it felt like, you know, as things were sort of spinning out of control in my life, I decided the only thing I could do was write some songs and try to remain optimistic. So it's my wife is calling the album Sad Songs, Happy Man. that's the kind of adopted title for the record.
Just the beating of your heart. I know the best of me is here with you. The engine never stops, it's humming. And I may never cease my running. But as the miles are keeping score, I know what I'm playing for.
I was born in 1982 in Essex, in the very sort of far east of London, west of Essex. But then we moved from there when I was very young. I grew up in South Devon by the sea. So right on the south coast of England. So I always had this kind of big horizon outside the window. I always felt like, though I lived in a small town, I could always see that there was a lot of world out there, you know, which had a big, played a big part in my my mentality growing up. I've always used the water as a metaphor in my work. Just the idea of the ebb and flow of life, and at some point it's going to come good to the shore, is just about, you know, hoping for the best and at some point receiving the best.
Now the rain gets in, I embrace the din. I can see the flood is coming and I'm soaking to the skin. Swimming out the dark, what you waiting for? Gonna look out on the waves, bringing everything I need to the shore.
I'm fortunate to have grown up in a house with a big record collection in it. My dad was always playing me Paul Simon and Ry Cooder and B.B. King and lots of classical music, lots of blues. So I was always exposed to good music. By the time I finally got around to playing guitar when I was 12, I already kind of knew how a guitar should sound, you know, because I'd heard so much good guitar music. There are songs like Deserving, which I managed to rope Sarah Jarosz and Courtney Hartman into singing with me. And that song is more about kind of domestic life, you know, being cooped up with your partner. And I wrote that song after we had an argument. And of course, you know, I was in the wrong. And I came away and realized, oh yeah, I didn't do too well back there. You go up to your room and pick up a guitar and then the song kind of comes out. And it's, you know, it's a little self-loathing and self-examination, but mostly it's just about, actually, yeah, I am in love and I have to still find a way to fit into this relationship, even though I don't feel like myself, you know. For me, it was a big shock to be grounded. You know, I was on tour 200 days a year the last couple of years, and then suddenly I'm home, and then I have to figure out, okay, so what do I do at home? You know, the answer is make records, but it took me a minute to figure that one out. But it's, you know, it's all right. It turns out I really like my family, so it was good. It kind of came together.
My friend, I won't ever say goodbye. We'll find one another down the line. No, people change, move on to a different place. My friend, I'll always recognize your face.
As I was finishing up the writing of this album, I had a pretty clear idea of who I wanted to work with. It just so happened that I couldn't get on a plane and go to Los Angeles or Nashville. So I was talking to my friends in America and had this idea, you know, what if they recorded their parts remotely and sent them to me? And, you know, I think in the last few months, a lot of people have been revealing projects in which they've done that kind of thing. But back in September, it felt completely new still, you know. And as I received these parts back, I would put them in the mix and then bounce off them. You know, I would I would let Sarah's vocal or Bill Frisell's guitar or whatever it was just influence the direction that the song took. And I wasn't overthinking it. I was trying to move instinctively, as I would if they were there in person, you know. So we cut the whole record in 7 days in that process. So we had Sarah Jarosz, Courtney Hartman, the Milk Carton Kids, Bill Frisell, and Lisa Hannigan contribute their parts remotely. And then in person, I had the great pianist Jason Rebello. I have my core band, who I've used for a long time. And then Jessica Staveley-Taylor of The Staves. She came in for a day and recorded vocals on Hold On in particular. And, you know, she's a proper singer, so it just elevated the whole thing completely. Border from Somerset in the rolling hills in the southwest of England is the county of Wiltshire, and it's a very green and verdant place. You drive through a little village called Box. It's all cobbled streets and dry stone walls. You drive down a hill next to a river and you turn into this little secluded vale, and there's Real World Studios. And it's a beautiful old brick building, huge, not by American standards, but by English standards. You know, it's a big old 18th century brick warehouse that's been converted into a studio. And you go inside, and the first thing that hits you is just the smell of the place. It's all wood. You know, we were recording in Studio 2 there. It's called The Wood Room. And it just smells like oak. And there are vintage instruments and gear everywhere. You know, little flashing lights that just promise great sound, you know. And the sound of that room is reverberant, but not too reverberant. And when you plug in a guitar and you play loud, the sound that comes back to you is the sound of the wood room at Real World. And I wanted to work there because I wanted that sound to be a participant in the recording. I wanted it to be as much a member of the band as my bass player or my drummer. So we recorded things very live, and we used the sound of that place to inform the recordings.
Where do we go?
Listener of music, it offers me some sort of solace and sanctuary completely removed from daily life. It's a place where I can go and be alone and be completely comfortable. As someone who creates music, it's a similar feeling. You know, the guitar for me has always been somewhere that I can go and experience something like meditation. You know, it takes me out of myself and makes me feel calm and relaxed and great, you know. But then my relationship with music changed when I started writing songs, because I was suddenly then I was giving something to people. So now when I'm writing a song and recording a song especially, I'm thinking, okay, how will people react to this? Because I love the feeling of playing a song to someone and seeing that they are enjoying it, and then having a sort of circular exchange with people. You know, standing on a stage playing a song and seeing people sing it back to you is the greatest feeling in the world. So I'm always kind of looking for that opportunity. How do I make a song that's going to connect with people? So as a participant in music, I'm still the same kid with my headphones on in my room at 13 listening to Led Zeppelin for the first time, like looking for the magic in a record. But then as someone who fortunately, you know, pays his bills through music, I'm also looking for a way to maybe, if I'm lucky, create that feeling for other people.
He sure does that with this new album, The Fray. Also resuming some tour dates as well, John Smith, johnsmith.com, the place to learn more about John Smith. He's only performing in the UK at the moment. He did say, though, he'd love to come and play here in Columbus, so we'll hope for that sometime down the line. We had one last bit of fun with John Smith in the Fast Five. Here we go. Now, I close these things out with five quick song questions. Is that something you think Brilliant. You could do real quick? Just five?
Hey, man, anything for you.
Hey, all right, great. So the first one is, what's the first song you can remember hearing that you loved?
Oh, wow. I think Graceland by Paul Simon.
She said losing love is like a window in your heart. Everybody sees you're blown apart. Everybody sees the wind blow. I'm going to Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland.
The CD was released, you know, when I was very, very small. It was one of the first CDs ever pressed, I think. And my dad held onto it like a, you know, like a, it was like a kind of piece of alien memorabilia. It was so precious to him. He had it on display. Look at this CD. And he played it every chance he got. And I remember very early on dancing around the kitchen to that song, Graceland, and just thinking it was the best music I'd ever heard.
That's wonderful. And I do that with my kids too. I hold something. It's so sacred. One of my albums. I'm like, look at this. Look at this. Hear this. Yeah. Listen to this. So next one is the song that makes you feel the most nostalgic or reflective, the one that kind of sparks memories for you.
At the minute, it's Amelia by Joni Mitchell.
It was the hexagram of the heavens. It was the strings of my guitar. Amelia, it was just a false alarm.
I listened to that song a lot when I was flying in 2018. I went through a phase of just listening to that one song on every single flight I went on. And now when I hear it, you know, because a lot of that song is about flying anyway, you know. You know, I dreamed of 747s over geometric farms. And I hear that and it really just takes me to that feeling of being on an aeroplane going to work. And I miss it.
Absolutely. Okay, how about the go-to song, your go-to song for dancing, or a tune that you hear and you just can't sit still when you hear it?
Oh, man. Wow. There is a brilliant singer and songwriter in the UK called James Hunter, and he has a song called Karina, and it's got the most beautiful chorus. It goes, whoa, Karina, don't make me wait too long.
I'll steal your heart away in time. It's only fair 'cause you have mine. Oh, Karina, now don't make me wait too long.
And if that comes on, I just get up and start dancing.
All right, that's great. How about the song that makes you feel like working out, or maybe motivates you to do something that you don't quite feel like doing?
Oh, yeah, well, anytime I commit to the horrendous act of exercise, I put Mastodon in my headphones. I'm a big fan of their records, Blood Mountain, and what's the other one? Crack the Sky. I'll listen to that if I'm trying to run a few kilometers. Just like full on thrash metal does it for me.
Great. Okay, last one. A song that lifts you up when you're feeling down.
Ooh. I really like Donny Hathaway's recording of You Got a Friend from his live record, because the crowd in that record is the best sounding crowd ever.
Hey, don't you let them. You just
think of what it must have been like to be in that gig, and it just makes me feel really all right.
And Donny Hathaway, what a voice he had.
What
I mean, my
voice.
Goodness.
Yeah. Just crazy. So soulful.
John, that's all I have for you. My goodness, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for this beautiful record.
It's a real honor, man. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.